Well, it's Christmas time, you know. And we've been talking about Christmas in a different way this year. I've tried to put together concepts of how unexpected the first Christmas was. And we looked at unexpected messengers, angels, and all sorts of stuff. And then unexpected messages that they brought. And then unexpected answers that came from that. All the prophetic things that Scripture had talking about. And so tonight, just for a second, I want to slow down for a minute if we can and look at unexpected gifts that happened. You ever get an unexpected gift? I mean, one that you liked? I mean, I know Aunt Helen sent you the socks, but there are so many things packed in this story. So I want to jump in here as quickly as we can. And this is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's quite a thing that had never happened before. And her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, decided to just dismiss and divorce her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Wow, I guess God hates divorce. He says he does. Joseph was thinking about it, and an angel shows up in a dream and speaks to him, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is, he will prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. Did you hear that? This is how, in the Christmas story, salvation is explained. Jesus comes and prevents us from failing and missing the true end and true scope of life, which is God. All this took place that it might be fulfilled which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, I would imagine an angel like that would arouse you from your sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took her as his wife. But he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. And so, a virgin giving birth to a child who an angelic messenger shows up and says, oh, by the way, this is the Son of God, might be an unexpected gift. And thank God for his unexpected gift. The fact is, in Psalm 127, you know, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Never was it any more true. I mean, Psalm 127 has been true since the day it was written, but never was it any more true on this day where Jesus was given to be the Son of God and Son of Man. So the most unexpected gift of all is Jesus, but he's not the only one and only gift mentioned in the story. I would think if you're Joseph and you're contemplating divorce and you're laying down thinking, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And an angel shows up and starts preaching to you. That would be an unexpected gift too. Actually, you might think it was the booby prize and not a gift, but and he says, listen, don't worry about it. All this stuff is real. I'm telling you from the Lord, this is real. I know it's difficult for you to get your brain around. Just do what I tell you to do. And he does it. Another unexpected gift. When he does what the Lord tells him to do, prophecy gets fulfilled. I mean, things that have been spoken for hundreds of years come true just because Joseph chose to do what the angel told him God wanted him to do. That's pretty cool. I guarantee you he didn't wake up that morning and said, gee, I hope I can fulfill some prophecy today. Didn't happen that way, but it did happen. Things spoken hundreds of years before came true just because he did what the Lord wanted him to do. And he said, kind of an unexpected thing. I imagine Joseph was thinking Joe Jr., you know, or maybe Joe the third if Joe was a junior. But he says, no, you're going to name Jesus. And why? Because he's going to be the Savior of the whole world. And he's going to save people from their sins. and prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. Wow. That's some kind of dream language, isn't it? Now, that's a gift, I think, that we need to spend a little time looking at. Joseph gets this gift, and he says, oh, what do I do with this? I mean, how do I explain this to my parents? How do I explain this to her parents? I mean, think about it. This is a pretty serious thing, and yet because he obeys and because he does it, he does what he's supposed to do, we have Jesus for our Savior today. So, he has this unexpected gift fall in his lap, if you will. And so, he's going to divorce her. And so, the Holy Spirit shows up, speaking through the angel, and converts Joseph's sense of common sense dealing and earthly calculation, and converts that earthly calculation and common sense ability into the will of God and the spirit of wisdom. I was thinking about that again today, and I thought, we just ought to stop right there and say, Lord, here is my common sense. Here are my human calculations. Would you show up and convert the way I think into your will and into divine wisdom? That would be about as good a gift as you could get. Pray that over us before we leave. But I thought, man, that's, Joseph had it going on. He was having a good Christmas. But then the world, the flesh, and the devil show up. This is Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived from Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the king's upset, and when the king's upset, the kingdom's upset. So he gathered together all his chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Messiah was supposed to be born, and they said, it's Bethlehem. That's what's been written by the prophet. So Herod secretly called the Magi back and determined them from them exact time that the star they had seen appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, hey, go find this king, and then come back and tell me, because I want to worship him too. No, that's not what he wanted, but he had them convinced that's what he wanted. So they said, great, we will. So they set out again. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were happy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So God gave the wise men, Magi, an unexpected gift, a star in the eastern sky. And they said, you follow the star and you'll get to see where the promised king is. Now, I always thought, they called them wise men, but how wise are they if they're traipsing all across the world following the star? That's pretty spooky, isn't it? But God hung this star in the sky and said, boys, this is the way you go. Interestingly, you know, the Bible says in John 6, you can't come to the Lord unless you're drawn. And these were wise people. These were guys who were astronomers, astrologers, scientists, smart guys, wealthy guys. And they needed something that would tune them in and get them to where they needed to be. And so the Lord spoke their language. It's amazing to me. Here's guys that studied the stars, so he put one in the sky for them to study. You know, when you think you know all the planets and all the stars, and then another one shows up, what are you going to do? Pay attention to that one. That's what you're going to do. And they did, and they followed him all the way, and the star ends up stopping over this manger. And they walk in, and they see him, and they go, there he is. I tell you, when you really see him, worship's about the only thing that you can do. It says they worshiped him, and then they opened up their treasures. That's what worship does. Worship opens up your treasures. Generosity comes into you, actually flows out of you because of the gratitude you have for what he's done for you. I think that's great. And they got gold, and they got frankincense, they got myrrh, stuff that's worth gold, and they just lavish it on the baby. Why? Because they had come for a purpose, and that purpose was worship, and now it was going to be realized. So they get a star in the sky, then they get a dream saying, hey, don't go back the way you came, because Herod's going to, this is bad. Get out of there. Get away from there. And it's one of those things. And when they don't come back, for sake of time, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. When they don't come back, Herod says, oh, these guys tricked me. So he gets soldiers together, and they go back to Bethlehem, and they kill every male child that's 2 years old or younger. Because he was not going to have anybody be king but him. This is a tip. This is how the enemy works. He always tries to kill in infancy what he doesn't want to fight in maturity or strength. And he does that in your life. He's tried to do it in mine. He'll always attack in infancy what he doesn't want to have to deal with when the fortress is built. You got me? So don't despise small beginnings. And don't be messed up if everything doesn't work out perfectly at first. Jesus was sent to be the king of the whole world. And he was born in a stable, laid in a feed bunk. He didn't look like a king. I'm telling you, he's the king of kings. But the small beginning didn't look that way. The enemy was there to take him out. And that's what he tries to do with giftings and callings and dreams a lot of time. To snuff it out in the beginning so he doesn't have to fight it when it's strong. That's what happened at Christmas time. So there was another gift there. This was a gift of terror that the king did. And he said, he didn't have any confidence about him being king, so he was going to try to kill anybody that might be king. That's really a pretty selfish spirit, isn't it? So he sends the soldiers, they kill the children. And so what's going to happen? Well, Joseph has another dream. And God speaks to him and said, listen, Herod's going to come and kill the baby. Go to Egypt. Well, Egypt's the evil empire, you know, right? Egypt is the picture of the world in the Bible. But he sends him to Egypt. And of course, then there's another prophecy that says, out of Egypt, my son will I call. So he had to get there before he could call him out. But to protect him, and he went and hid. He could have sent like 10 bazillion angels and creamed Herod, right? He didn't. Why? Because he came in the fulfillment of time, to fulfill time. And it wasn't about a battle here. Jesus had already told Pilate, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. So the Lord wasn't going to interrupt it and have it come now. You with me? Could he have done something? Yes, he ran. Well, that means like losing. He didn't win. He didn't fight. He was smart enough. You don't always jump into the ring. You need to know who your opponent is. And he fled to Egypt. Now it all came out at the end. Came back and he ended up in Nazareth. And Jesus is called a Nazarene. It all worked. It all worked really well. Surprise, surprise, surprise. He surprised him, sending him to Egypt. He surprised him and said, hey, Herod's dead. You can go back. Nope, Herod's son took over. He surprised him, sent him to another city. Ended up being in Nazareth where he needed to be. But the real surprise in all of this, and I think this is great. I'll try to close here, but Joseph's greatest unexpected gift is that through all of these incredible events, some of them crisis events, he learned to hear the voice of God. That was his gift at Christmas. Dreams, visions, nuances. He didn't have time to listen. Oh, give me 4 more dreams and I'll go. No, he's coming. You got to go. He left that night to go to Egypt and take the baby to be safe. The greatest gift was Jesus. The greatest gift to Joseph was that God trained him to hear the voice of God. And I would tell you tonight, he'd love to give you a gift like that. He would love to give you the gift of not missing the end and the scope of life, which is only found in God. That's how it works. He'd like to give you the gift that he gave to the Magi, because they had heard about him and they followed the star. All the press clippings. But when they saw him, they got to see him. And when they saw him, down on their knees and worshiping. I'm telling you, that's what it's like. The Lord is here to give the eyes of your heart an opening so that you can see him, so that you can have that response to him. And I think he's here to help some of us, just like he helped Joseph. Right in the midst of whatever it is you're in the midst of, don't waste it, don't waste it, don't waste it. He wants to teach us how to hear his voice, even in the most dire circumstances. Lord, thank you for all the truth that you pack in your word. It's amazing. Thank you for what you did for them then. And you haven't changed a bit. You'd love to do for us now. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see you, Lord. Teach us to hear the voice of God. And Lord, for those of us who maybe haven't settled our issues with you, you sent Jesus to keep us from failing, to prevent us from missing the fact that the whole end of life, the whole purpose of life, and the whole scope of life is life in God. Now, if you just have your heads bowed for just a minute, I need to do this to complete what I'm doing. That might be you. I might be talking to you tonight that you've never come to that relationship with Jesus where you realize, no, the Bible's right. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And it's as easy as opening your heart from the inside and inviting him in. So I'm going to pray for us real quickly. And if that's you and you haven't ever given your heart to the Lord, that's probably why he has you here tonight. So if you would just pray silently or under your breath as I pray this prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us tonight. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, who came to us, the Bible says, to be our Savior, to keep us from missing the whole purpose and scope of life, which is life in God that only Jesus can give us. Lord, we admit that we've done things that haven't measured up. We confess those as sin and say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us tonight. Wash us clean. We say yes to you, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts. Save us tonight, which was your purpose for coming. Now, just keep your eyes closed for a moment, if you would please, or your head down. If you prayed that with me, and that's if you really meant that, would you just slip up your hand so I'll know how to pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for everyone who raised their hand and all those who should have. And I ask for the power of the Spirit of God to rest on them tonight. And they will know that they know they have given their life to you. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.